The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What's the changes that we need? I'll tell you right now.
I will be at Payback on Sunday. That is a promise. I will be in the triple threat match, wreck everyone and leave. That is a guarantee. And I will win back my Universal Championship that I never lost in the first place. That is not just a prediction. That's a spoiler.
Believe that.
Oh, trendsetter, believe that, because after weeks and weeks of a very, I would say, below average show, this one hit a home run. Trendsetter, believe that. Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, the possibilities are endless. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you're listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berga. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast, on Bodyslam.net, on the Shining Wizards Network. Wow, trendsetter, what a way to cap off SmackDown this past Friday.
Now, as much as I would say, hey, that was a home run in itself, I don't think the entire show was a home run, but what a way to end it on the go-home show. That's right, guys. I said the go-home show for Payback. Last week, we were talking about SummerSlam. Now we're talking about Payback.
Yeah, 1 week later.
Of the impact of Roman Reigns' return at SummerSlam and now leading up to this. Jeff, this is what we were looking forward to the most in terms of when we're saying, hey, listen, what's that one thing that Roman might be missing? Because back then, his promo skills were nowhere close to where they are now. A lot better was the speaking voice, and that was being a Paul Heyman guy, and now we have that. So be careful what you wish for. To quote the phrase of someone famous, be careful what you wish for, because now, Jeff, we have it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we get from this is that there's a correlation with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. There is some sort of partnership. Will they delve into it at Payback and going forward? We hope so, because this is something that SmackDown's been missing. And let's be honest, not only that, you can talk about Roman Reigns' promos from back in the day, or what he is now, or what we think of Roman Reigns. He is a lightning rod, and he was sorely missed on SmackDown. Whether you like him or not, whether you know you're a fan of his or not, or you just want to, you know, just, you know, dump on him and, you know, and just criticize him, whatever, he is a lightning rod, and he is back on SmackDown, and hallelujah. I never thought I'd be this giddy to see Roman Reigns, but man, you got to be honest, trendsetter, this show, this brand, SmackDown, sorely missed Roman Reigns.
Well, Jeff, let the record show.
Oh boy, the record.
That I was someone, when you and I would do shows on the High Spot Podcast, and now obviously being here on the unofficial WWE podcast for the SmackDown review, I've made it perfectly clear that it's very clear to me that I've never once degraded or hated Roman Reigns, the man. It's the character, and it's the force feeding of his rise to stardom, as opposed to people were for it. But when it was backed up by the machine, you could tell it was being misogynized by it, that's when people revolted against it. Roman Reigns is a star. There's no question about that. Now aligning himself with Paul Heyman, this is what we always wanted. We wanted the heel turn. I necessarily wasn't somebody who said I wanted the heel turn. I just wanted to see the real version of this guy and let him talk, let him speak, let him fail if that should happen. And he's failed several times due to WWE's guidance. Now we have the ability, hopefully, to see a different side of Roman. Not necessarily because I want him to be a heel or I want him to be a bad guy or antagonist, protagonist, whatever you want to call it nowadays. But I just want to see him having that like the edge, that cutting edge side of him that we know he was part of him when he first came up with the Shield. Now we're going to see it. So that's why I'm super excited from this this pairing between Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns.
And it gets us talking because, again, yes, we've seen that they're aligned, but in what way? Is it a one-time thing? Is it for the foreseeable future?
When you sign with Paul Heyman, Jeff, it's not a one-time thing. You are a Paul Heyman guy then for life.
So that's what we're talking about today. We open up the show. We usually go down the list to get to the main event, but if you do not open up with this, then you're doing a disservice to the fans that are listening to the show right now, because there is one thing that happened here that you got to talk about and dissect for a little bit as we head into Payback, and that is that, you know, this is something really huge. It's monumental because Paul Heyman is a, you know, is with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar right now is not, you know, on either brand. And now for Paul Heyman, for somebody that was let go of being the director of Raw and just taking down an on-screen role we thought was with Brock, we see him sooner or later with Roman Reigns. And not only that trendsetter, but there's also an underlying issue that AJ Styles left Raw because he had some personal feelings against Paul Heyman. He has to get traded to the SmackDown brand. He goes over to SmackDown because Paul was supposed to be on Raw. Then he gets let go. Yeah. And now Paul Heyman is on SmackDown where Roman Reigns is a star there. And so now you have also that, you know, hey, it's a little uncomfortable with AJ Styles and Paul Heyman. But I think they're all professional. I think that, you know, they'll put those feelings aside here as far as that, because that's right now secondary. The main thing here, Trendsetter, is that it's going to cause a lot of eyes to go into Payback. Because now, as we head into Payback, I forgot to realize that we're also going to have to preview this match. And it is official. It's going to be a triple threat match. Braun Strowman, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, the champion, and Roman Reigns there. And if you're a betting man, and if you bet on wrestling, which you can, man, how do you not see Roman Reigns coming out victorious?
The thing is not. And I think, honestly, they wouldn't have brought him back if that wasn't the initial move they wanted to do. Which me questions the fact of why do the title change at all? Why, you know, why did we have to see that? I guess for finality of this whole rivalry between Braun and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, I guess that's kind of why you did it. Because here's the thing. If you had kept the title on Braun, then or the match ended in a type of kibosh, I'm sure that type of main event ending would have been suitable for people. They would have approved it, right, Jeff? The fact that you end it because Roman Reigns interrupts everything, and then now we have this triple threat match to find out who the Universal Champion is. Now that you have the turnover that Braun, as much as they tried to build him up, and there's this new version of Braun with the shaven head and now with the beard, obviously, get defeated by The Fiend. Fiend now has a Universal title, and you're thinking, okay, well, now they're going full on The Fiend's route, and now in comes the surprise of Roman Reigns. So it really makes me think, was the switch necessary? And now when you do that, not that I'm worried of what's going to happen to The Fiend, and it's again, he's the character, in my opinion, who doesn't need the title. My thing is, was it necessary? Did it make sense to do it in this scenario? Because, again, I don't really foresee anything differently happening, like you just said. I think it's built for Roman to gain the title that he said, we just heard in the beginning of the show, that he never lost.
I'll tell you one thing, Trendsetter. Braun Strowman is the one that's getting pinned at Payback.
Yeah.
It's not going to be The Fiend, because this opens the door to The Fiend losing the title and not having been pinned, which is always what happens in a triple threat match for a title, that the champion doesn't exactly have to get pinned to lose the title. True. So my betting on is that Roman Reigns spears Braun Strowman and beats Braun Strowman 1-2-3. Now, could they go where they decide, hey, let's really put Roman over here and have him beat The Fiend? I don't think so. I think they'd save that for maybe like a finals, for a one-on-one match and not a triple threat match. So I really do believe here that Roman Reigns is walking away out of Payback as the new Universal Champion by pinning Braun Strowman. And let's be honest with Braun Strowman, bro. He was a transitional champion.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the if you call it success or not in terms of his title reign, unfortunately, he was a transitional champion. And I hate to say this, too. As much as you and I backed him up in the beginning, we had ample opportunities against Brock Lesnar, thinking, all right, this was going to be Braun Strowman's moment. The crowd really wanted it. But, you know, as we heard, you know, if you guys watch social media and the internet, too, and Twitter, you know, there's I didn't see the quote-unquote documentary on the WWE Network, though, where Vince McMahon went to Braun and says, you know, there's something you're not ready, or there's just something there that's not believable to him to put the title on him. And then the circumstances chances to happen in WrestleMania. It was supposed to be Roman and Goldberg.
Oh, is that the Braun Strowman documentary one?
Yeah.
I got to check that out.
I haven't checked it out yet. But again, he made that. They put that out on Twitter in terms of, you know, him feeling emotionally upset about that. But then when you look at it, though, he didn't really get this opportunity. He got it more out of circumstance because Roman was not going to be there because of the whole height of the pandemic. He was supposed to face Goldberg. That was supposed to be Roman's moment now to go over Goldberg and become the Universal Champion once again. Braun filled in that spot, did a good job, and his title reign has not been a success. But again, how many times have people in their first title reign have success? Very rarely. And so in this case, you know, it's something he'll learn from. We've seen him now in this aspect of being champion, but unfortunately, in my opinion, Jeff, it'll be a while before we see Braun Strowman ever close to that scenario once again.
Well, let's talk about Braun, though, since he was involved in a match here. Adam Pearce is, of course, running around under Vince McMahon, who the chairman of the board made an appearance. So that's how major this SmackDown was, is that he was kind of involved in a little storyline where Adam Pearce had to get the signatures of all three men, which just, okay, fine, that's the one way to do it. But
it was a journey in itself.
Yeah, which it was. And basically, you know, Braun Strowman is in this, like, kind of like Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy kind of back in the, you know, early 90s kind of get up, which I was like, what? You know, like, that's so weird. I don't think the attire matched the persona. You know, like the old Braun Strowman, even what led up to him in SummerSlam, that attire to me is more Braun Strowman. I don't get this. I mean, honestly, he looked like a member of the Hardy Boys. Honestly, yeah, I did not get that. But he, you know, he destroys Drew Gulak. He's a monster, right? And I gotta check that documentary out with Braun, because I saw the documentary with the WrestleMania one and how he was like almost going back home and stuff like that, and then he got called back on the last hour.
He was home.
Had to go back, and there was a change of plans because Roman had to leave because of fear of catching the coronavirus, because he is a little bit weakened by a state, having leukemia and stuff like that. So
we found out too, Jeff, is that it wasn't necessarily that, but it was also he had a newborn. Or he didn't want to have that risk of the newborn and the whole family being infected.
Totally understandable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, family first. You got to put your priorities, in check. And I think Roman did the right thing, and he's back, of course. And so that's basically Braun Strowman's story heading into Payback. So you get a little bit of in-depth of Braun, the guy, and, you know, you root for him because he's a good dude, man. Like, he is a hell of a guy, man. And this is, again, all based on just character. And so you say we won't see him in the foreseeable future in that title picture. But still, though, I will say, if anything, though, his character was enhanced by The Fiend and in that rivalry. So whether he walks out the champion or not, I do believe his character has grown and has had more depth heading into Payback.
Yes, but my thing to you, Jeff, is he's grown, he's evolved in the sense that he's a different version of himself that he was prior to facing The Fiend. But then where do you go from there? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're always looking forward, and I hate the fact that people say, hey, Brian, you're not just enjoying the moment. No, I'll enjoy the moment for what it is, and I will enjoy the main event at Payback and see what direction or what decision they plan on making. Because, again, this is just speculation. We don't know, but you'd like to think all the cards are favoring that's going to happen with Roman Reigns gaining the Universal title now, the alliance of Paul Heyman. When I look at it, though, it's like, okay, say that happens. You could continue a situation between him and The Fiend now. But then, to me, Braun's the odd man out, because you just said it yourself, too, that you see Braun getting pinned in this. So in this way, you're somewhat protecting The Fiend, because, again, he loses the Universal title this time, but, again, he wasn't defeated, unlike when he was destroyed by Goldberg.
Yeah.
And then Braun not only loses his title, loses a clean to The Fiend, and then loses again in a triple threat match, which, again, I guess it is circumstance. I just think Braun right now is the odd man out. So this whole evolution and change is great, but then I foresee another issue with SmackDown itself. Like you said, it was great to have Roman Reigns back. You need more star power on that brand, and Roman Reigns is a star. But now he is an antagonist, a heel, a bad guy. How many baby faces or good guys do you have now going up against who's going to eventually chase him? Again, this is all speculation if Roman does win.
I also want to wait where they go with the whole Roman Reigns. You're already calling him a heel. Yes, obviously it is, you know, assuming with Paul Heyman, everyone that's aligned with him is heel to an extent. But I just want to see where that develops.
Who hasn't been a heel?
Exactly. But again, I don't want to make the assumption because, you know, they love Roman Reigns. But I think maybe you could be right where a heel run as a champion for Roman Reigns could set him up to be that babyface down the road, right?
Or we could see the scenario where he does win the title and then he basically just uses Paul Heyman. And that's it. And then Spear him and you're done, whatever type of scenario. But at the end of the day, I really feel, regardless of what the circumstances might be, I don't foresee Braun winning this at all. I just think he's the odd man out in all of it because he's going to be the one most affected by it, in my opinion.
So we'll get back to this whole main event again because a lot of stuff happened, man. And we brought to you, we brought this to you first because, I mean, how could you not start with this?
Yeah,
and of course, the audio was brought to you by WWE.com. So that's where that audio was pulled. And so, Trent, we open up the show with Jeff Hardy as your Intercontinental Champion. You just leave that there, Trendsetter. I mean, don't we make errors in life, though? Don't we make errors? Anyways, it's still hard for me to see Jeff Hardy as the IC Champion because I just wished that AJ Styles would have had a longer run. But he has an open challenge before he could get to that. AJ Styles got to get some stuff off his chest. Let's be honest, Trendsetter. Jeff Hardy definitely used that leg brace to defeat AJ Styles, because I believe had he not used it, AJ Styles would be the champion this week.
Oh, there's definitely no question in my mind that would have been the case too. But again, you have those little fun marks there. Say, well, it was AJ that hurt him to begin with. Well, what does it matter? Because at the end of the day, it's still illegal. What AJ did could be questionable to some people, of course. But you know what? To me, that's smart. Why wouldn't you want to take out your opponent prior to the match? That's what happened. But it wasn't illegal because it happened prior to the match. This happened during the match. It was a foreign object that kneed AJ in the face. The referee, I don't know what was wrong with the referee. They should have called it disqualification because that's what it should have been. And now Jeff Hardy's the champion. So you're right. You know, hypocrisy. I call thee by name, Jeff Hardy. And Daniel Bryan, of course.
So AJ Styles says, you know, what's on his mind. And he's a guest on commentary for the Shinsuke Nakamura match against Jeff Hardy. He answers the call. And once again, Jeff Hardy. See, here's what I'm confused. So they have Jeff Hardy as this guy that is overcoming all these demons to get back to where he wants to be. And that is somewhere in the title picture. And now he's the Intercontinental Champion. But the second week in a row, he uses that title, uses that brace as a catapult to him to win another match. Now, I don't know, it's by accident, I don't know, whatever, but it's kind of contradictory because a good guy, a babyface, does not normally win under these circumstances, and you don't end up rooting for this guy down the road.
Well, look, I've never rooted for Jeff Hardy, in and out of the ring. No, I'm just joking. In the ring, mostly.
Oh.
Well, no, outside the ring, I've rooted for him to have a good success of life. In the ring, I don't root for Jeff Hardy. I mean, I like him. I thought he was good with the Hardy Boys, now that the Hardy Men are old men in this case. Or that's how they feel.
Yeah.
But, with Jeff right now, like I said before, unfortunately, from the beginning, was happy to see him come back to the company. But I think, honestly, in my opinion, that WWE has kind of soured the experience. They'd had a pretty interesting angle with Sheamus and the whole issue with alcoholism and demons and drugs and things of that nature. But they extended it so far right now that I'm nothing more than sour. I'm not rooting for Jeff. I'm rooting against him. I want the title off of him so badly. Not just going to AJ's ways, but going to anybody's. Even the hypocrite Daniel Bryan.
Put
it on his
ways. How about this guy, Sami Zayn, who made a return, a surprising return back to the WWE, back to SmackDown. And he has every right to say that he is still the Intercontinental Champion because he left because of COVID. He left for concerns, and which is all he's all entitled to do that. He left it. They vacated the title. That's why they had that tournament. And now he comes back, and now he's carrying that Intercontinental title because he has claims that he never lost the damn thing. So now you've got – what I like about this thing is that you have so many moving parts here. You got AJ Styles. You got Sami Zayn. You got Jeff Hardy. Shinsuke, I know he's in the Intercontinental title picture, but anytime you could bring one of these guys in to be in the mix, Daniel Bryan down the road after he's done breastfeeding his child, he can come back. And you have a lot of depth in the competitors that can challenge for that Intercontinental title. And to me, that's the only positive of having maybe Jeff Hardy as a champion. You have all these other people that can vie for it. Yeah. You have Sami Zayn, who's going to make a huge case for it. He returns. Really doesn't, you know, give you a reason why it took this while he was away. We know why he was away, but character-wise, we don't know why. Caleb Braxton tried to ask him that. He kind of fled. And then, Trendsetter, he gets basically kicked out of the Champions Lounge. He is no longer looks to be aligned with Shinsuke and Cesaro, but you can't blame them for that, right?
He was MIA. He was MIA. He abandoned them, never told them why, and they were there fending for themselves. figuratively, storyline-wise, and literally because there's nothing for them to do when Sami left. And I'm sure you know, listen, we talked about the whole Roman Reigns situation of why he left, the reason behind that. We kind of know what the reasoning was for Sami Zayn. Here's the difference, though. When Roman left, we understand. We got it. We felt bad. We hoped he came back as soon as possible. With Sami, it was the opposite. We actually didn't really mind it, even though he wasn't a title champion because, you know, when you ask people about Sami Zayn, and hey, I applaud him for his athleticism, for everything he does, his contributions to the business, but I'm sure a lot of people were happy he was gone. You know why? Because they just couldn't stand him talking all that time. Well, he just talks and talks and talks, and he hates when somebody keeps talking and interrupts. He doesn't let you speak and get a word in edgewise.
Do you need a drink of water there, Trent Center?
No, but I'm just giving an example of that, Sami. But again, it's great to see him come back because it does bring that dynamic. And Jeff, I remember the last time we had two IC titles at the same time.
There's a ladder match involved, wasn't there?
Exactly. Ladder match. And it reads that right now. When you think of Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn, you think that is a match that I would love to see because, I mean, that was the last time I can remember two IC titles on the line. For legitimate excuse, Shawn Michaels went away. He's like, I'm not giving you your title. It's with here me with me in San Antonio. You're not taking it back. And then you have the whole battle situation with Razor Ramon. I think that it pits something like that, but you're right. It's amazing and it's great that storylines impede themselves. And there's no doubt with these four involved, especially Shinsuke, that would be a great angle right there in itself because it gives you the intrigue that there is no clear-cut person that you could see walking out with the IC title.
Definitely. And, you know, in just one show with Roman and Sami Zayn back, SmackDown just got a little bit more entertaining, you know, because they're just missing that extra little thing. And it was just basically it was minute, the same kind of match, the same thing going on, and now hopefully Sami Zayn starts to spark. I'm sure he will. He's really, you know, again, he's one of the best people on the mic, so he's going to bring more entertainment value to this IC title picture, which obviously they're really pushing it because you open up the show with it. You give it about 21 minutes as a segment too, so obviously it's a big thing. You know, I think eventually they're going to start pushing this Universal title eventually. Maybe once Roman Reigns has it, it'll be more visual. It'll be more of an important piece to the SmackDown. But right now, that IC title has gotten a lot of airtime with the opening segment about being like 20, 26 minutes long. So good for that in the IC title. So I still think it's a bright future. I still think, though, AJ Styles should be the IC champion right now. So we go to the Firefly Funhouse. Adam Pearce, looking for that signature, gets it from Bray Wyatt, and now he is confirmed. Again, Firefly Funhouse, doesn't do anything for me anymore. Yeah. It really doesn't. It's just repetitive. It's like you, again, beating angles to like a dead horse. You know what I mean? Like it's just the same thing every week now. It's lost. It's lost being special. So to me, whatever, he got the signature and that's fine. And you had the little comedy where he's like the mailman, kind of like a Mr. Rogers, speedy delivery, whatever. I mean, it is what it is, but he gets the signature on that trendsetter. And so now we're just waiting on Roman Reigns. And man, it was worth the while to wait for his signature at the end of the night. Then you get Matt Riddle against Shorty G. A really good match, man. Really good match.
Really short, though, and no pun intended there.
I thought you were
for the mere fact that, you know, and I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to build up, obviously, the payoff, which will be maybe hopefully a payback between, and say hopefully meaning that the storyline concludes. Not that I'm looking forward to it, though I am looking forward to Matt Riddle's progression within SmackDown. But they're trying to pit Matt Riddle and King Corbin together. I get it. It's just a shame to me that Chad Gable is a guy as talented as he is just a stepping stone, basically, right now. He's just somebody who gets you to the point you want to go from point A to point B. You're going to step over Chad Gable. It's sad right now that they really can't find anything for this guy. I think, you know, it would have been nice if he was included in the IC title scenario because, like you said before, that seems to be the main focal point of what they're doing. Who knows if the Universal title comes in? I wouldn't agree with that or wouldn't think that would be the case right now because right now, if you want your show to be somewhat interesting, you want the IC title to be the main focus. And it's just sad that Chad Gable right now really can't find anything good for himself to do on SmackDown right now.
I'm a little worried about Baron Corbin here in the fact that I know I'm only in the minority here.
King Corbin here.
Corbin and Riddle are going to go at it at Payback, right? Yeah. But now with Roman Reigns back here, with Sami Zayn, and like with Corbin looking like he's going to put over Matt Riddle, the depth that he was a main, maybe top five guy.
Yeah.
On SmackDown, but now with this turnaround here, you could see himself basically maybe out of the top 10.
Yeah, that was my reaction to it right there.
I was like, whoa.
Trying to eternally hold it in. But no, you're right. But the thing with King Corbin, though, is I'm sure a lot of people who we know who are friends of the show will consider him still the MVP of SmackDown in the WWE just because he still garners that attention. So it doesn't matter if he loses one or 10 matches. We understand that the moniker of the King of the Ring is not at the high standard it should be right now. Because you think if you're the King of the Ring, then you are either similar if you're the Intercontinental Champion, that next guy. Obviously, that's not the case here with King Corbin, and it's more of just a place filler, holder. I don't think it ruins his stock.
I would have said that maybe 20 years ago, but I think the King of the Ring has become like a joke.
It is a joke. That's why it doesn't hold that same moniker as it once did before. So that's why if King Corbin loses and puts Matt Riddle over, it helps them with Matt Riddle. But at the end of the day, I think King Corbin will continually always find himself in those situations just because he's just that good of a guy that you just boo him. You want him to lose, and you hate him so much that it's still valid that you can put him in that situation no matter what. So I think he'll be fine. And I don't think it ruins his stock any further than, you know, where it is right now.
I'm losing so much sleep over this trendsetter. Day and night, I look on the rumor mill, on the dirt sheets, and I'm like, you know, this can't be. I mean, I thought this friendship lasts forever. I thought that these guys would be inseparable. And the more I see the dysfunction and the lack of communication, and it just worries me that we could be seeing the end of the Lucha House Party trendsetter. I mean, I don't know how to take it. I'm despondent sometimes. It's hard to come on here and do the show. I can't concentrate when I'm doing my daily tasks. The fact that there's dissension in the ranks between such a solid trio is just disheartening, trendsetter. I mean, can't they get along here? Can they make this work for the sake of SmackDown and the future of it on the network? I mean, what is going on, trendsetter? Like, I just see that it's going to end. And I don't think I'm ready for it to end.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't regurgitate when you were saying that right now, like I did for the whole King Corbin thing. But, I mean, only one word that I asked myself time and time again, Jeff, as you know, you were talking about it and explaining what's going on is, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué estás haciendo esto?
Why are you doing this?
Están amigos. ¿Por qué están haciendo esto?
You're friends. Why are you doing this?
Yo no entiendo y no puedo pensar un día que Lucha House Party ya no están juntos. No están parte de SmackDown.
I can't take a day where Lucha House Party isn't together on SmackDown. Oh, my goodness.
Por favor, hablan y tratan de arreglar esto porque necesitamos el Lucha House Party para ser parte de SmackDown.
We need Lucha House Party on SmackDown, damn it.
Don't forget, I said please work together and fix this thing.
Yes.
Again,
I'm trying to translate there for you guys.
I know,
out
exactly.
There.
Thank you so much. A lot better than the boxing quartermen that translate during the boxing matches.
Kalisto, to me,
looks
has
great,
so,
by the way.
So
looks
much
great.
Potential. He's ripped. He's jacked. He's one of the best wrestlers there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, injuries have been a factor in his
Lindsay
career.
Dorado looks jacked. You see that?
Yeah.
Grandma Talik. I don't know, man. Like, what's the payoff
doesn't
here?
Doesn't look jacked at all.
No. What's the payoff here? I mean, you see Lynch with the baby oil and everything like that. Like, you see Kalisto's in the best shape of his life. Had a great match with Cesaro.
Yeah.
Right? Fell short, you know, of the, again, the victory. But some great
Pun
moves.
Intended.
So many great moves. Again, I mentioned Rey Mysterio 2.0. Instead of pushing his son Dominic or whatever, like, Kalisto right there could, you know, is definitely a top wrestler. What is the payoff to this? What do they expect that we want to see? Do I want to see Kalisto turn on Lindsay Dorado and Grandma Talik? Am I interested in like a triple threat? I mean, what is going on? Is there a payoff to Kalisto's character? Maybe, like, that's the only thing I could see because I don't think they really think that we want to see Lindsay or Grandma Talik against Kalisto.
Well, that's what's probably gonna happen. But I think you just said it. That's the payoff. It's the character of Kalisto moving on now as a heel, but just moving on and separating himself from Lucha House Party because, again, you know, we spoke about before, even when Kalisto first started, had so much potential. You call him Rey Mysterio version 2 of Rey Mysterio.
2.0.
I can easily see that and agree with that as well. But, again, he hasn't really been able to consistently do that because he's had title runs on his own. He's been U.S. champion, things of that nature. Just all of them not really living up to par. So maybe a change in character, a change in attitude. definitely a change in look. He looked completely, after, you know, dealing with injury or taking time off, coming back probably in the best shape of his life. So hopefully this might be a good turnaround for Kalisto to kind of have now some single success. In what? I don't know right now, especially on SmackDown, because everything is seems to be on the IC title. We already have enough people vote buying for that, and maybe the Cruiserweight division again. I have no idea. But right now, separating Lucha House Party is the key main key of what WWE wants to do, and have Kalisto separate himself from that and try to gain some single success again.
We got Nikki Cross and Tamina together for some reason.
Yeah.
Nikki's holding a coffee cup. That's Alexa Bliss's, I guess it was a gift.
Yeah, and Tamina's like, hey, coffee's over there.
And thank God that they got Tamina wearing other colors than just black, because she's a very good looking person, and they just for some reason killed her with just her wearing all black, right? So good to see you in her colorful outfit, whatever like that. Good to see maybe some character, but man, then Alexa Bliss comes out and just outshines them all. It's
And before you go any further, Jeff, you just said Alexa Bliss walks into this segment of whatever it was supposed to be. And let's just take a moment, guys, as we always do every show. Let's take a moment and appreciate the amazing beauty of a person inward and outward that is Alexa Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
That was all right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So she's out there. Cute little, you know, hairdo. She's thinking of sporting.
Looks like Harley Quinn
again. Yeah, got a little braid on there. And then she's thinking about either going half braid, half regular hair, and maybe all braids, but it might be too much, too soon. Mm-hmm. And Nikki Cross mentions that it looks a little bit kind of like The Fiend. She kind of stares off in the distance. Obviously, when you come in contact with The Fiend, you aren't the same, which is a trend that's going on here for Alexa Bliss. Where this goes, I don't know, but I'm interested to see, because I think this could be creative. This could be good for her. And eventually would lead her back to the dark side where she belongs. But I really think that I'm curious to see where this goes. And I'm all in for this. And, you know, she kind of, you know, blacks out a little bit. Then gets mad at Nikki Cross saying, oh, yeah, I thought you were a friend. You'd be supportive of my hairstyle. A little childish, whatever. But, you know, whatever. She throws the mug, shatters it. Symbolic trendsetter. I ask you, symbolic of her and Nikki's friendship now. But again, though, I'm really looking forward to where they're going with Alexa Bliss here.
Well, if anything was symbolic, Jeff, in that, it would be more, not that Alexa shattered the coffee mug, which would symbolize their friendship, but the mere look on Nikki Cross's face, in my opinion, there should not be shock in there. If there's anybody who shattered the mug symbolically, it would be Nikki Cross mm-hmm. for what she did. And so, you know, maybe again, like you said, it's a different route now. They're going to bring Alexa Bliss now back to the side in which she belongs so much, as you said, the dark side, which is funny because to me, Alexa Bliss breeds nothing but light in my life, as sad as it is. I need a girl so bad, Jeff. I need a girl so bad. But I think it's great because I think I'm being repetitive as I always am, but, you know, Alexa just fits that category so well. She just does so well. Yes, she's believable as somebody you want to root for. But God, you just love that side of her that's just all about her, which has led to so much success she's had in the past. Now, not so much, obviously, because she's on a different route, on a different side of it. But to what I find funny is that they're really trying to make this as Alexa's changing. And yet now, again, what frustrates me all the time, and you go, oh, Brian, come on, whatever. No, but this it's valid because, listen, you cannot produce TV. Jeff, whether you're watching a good movie or a good TV series, you cannot put something out there and then the next week be completely different and say, wait, what about that last week? Like,
yeah.
How can you expect me to forget about that? Nikki Cross and shoving down Alexa Bliss several times for her obsession for the WWE SmackDown title, I cannot think that people could be like, okay, well, we're forgetting about that now. In my honest opinion, Alexa Bliss has every right to be mad more at Nikki, and Nikki showing the sign of show of concern. Well, Nikki, you're the one that shoved Alexa Bliss down in the middle of the ring twice and let her – not twice, but knocked her down once and then left her alone with The Fiend. Never once those two interactions with The Fiend, which Jeff says now you're never the same after that, never once did you come out to try to help her and save her.
Yeah.
So what does that say about you? So interesting. We definitely know Alexa's going in that direction. I don't know if she's going to align herself with The Fiend, but definitely going in that direction. I am happy for it now. You know why? Because I'm like, welcome back. This is where you belong, Alexa. And hopefully that will include her now having more opportunities at a title run, because there's nothing finer than that SmackDown title around Alexa Bliss's waist.
Yeah. Well said, trendsetter. And the main event... Now we get six men, which was kind of starting in the beginning. It all started kind of like talking smack, which is back. And again, Renee Young is leaving WWE, trendsetter. That is one of the headlines as well. So we wish her the very best. They kind of mentioned a little bit in the AEW show, MJF kind of talked about, John Moxley's wife a little bit there, a little innuendo. Just real quick, she seems like she wants to get into the entertainment field, right? She's done, basically what you do is you're working for WWE, you kind of like, it's like a stepping stone to get into something. We've seen people go into that field for entertainment is the next thing we go to, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe she does AEW for a little bit. I would say that you'll see her there. But she's got to go into the entertainment field, and we just wish her the best. She's, the first ever woman commentator for Raw, did so many things. Very entertaining when she did Talking Smack, which we should have never canceled it in the beginning with. That was just a horrible idea. Yeah. Now you get this version of Talking Smack, which is always watered down from what it used to be. Very revolutionary in that fact, because that was very entertaining to see after SmackDown, Talking Smack, where it kind of would build that star. That's where you got the Daniel Bryan Miz thing going again, kickstarted. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Miz, you were like, wow, that passionate speech that he made. Renee Young did a lot, and we wish her the best.
Well, not just that. I'll just really quickly add on to that. Not only help build that extra star, have the moments like you just mentioned between The Miz and Daniel Bryan, Jeff, but, I use this example, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but when you had the scenario where Randy Orton was defending the W Championship against a guy like Jinder Mahal, you finally had the chance to hear a guy like Jinder Mahal, not in character, just talk about the length it took him to get here, and basically, spoke to the point where, like, hey, I kind of want him to win now, because, he's like, Randy's got to worry about me now, because I'm younger than him, I'm stronger, I'm faster than him, so, people are overlooking me, blah, 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 and et cetera, et cetera, and there you build in a storyline. I love that they treated it like a post-game show, and literally, sometimes characters would be out of character and be like, well, I've been working for this, and this is going on, and or would take that realism back into the storyline, which I thought did a great job. And then towards the end, even before after it got canceled, I thought I was getting watered down because they're treating it more like cookie-cutter storylines. But it's great that it's back. It should have never been canceled, like you said before. And for Renee Young, I would advise her not to do AEW right now. I think the world of professional wrestling, I think she's really dominated really well. And the field of entertainment, I think she would excel in, I hate to say the expression.
Or sports.
Because it gets overused a lot. But the sky's the limit, really, for her in terms of her talent and what she can do. She wasn't necessarily my cup of tea. There's some times where I thought she was really being obnoxious, especially with backstage, over the top. I'm like, hopefully that kind of changes in whatever field she decides to go in. But, sky's the limit for a woman like Renee Young. And at the point right now, she doesn't really need to do anything right now for a while, but she will. But I think right now, in terms of AEW, that would be a move I would advise against right now, because
it's going to be a while. Her non-compete is a long time for her to go there. But still, though, so the best to Renee Young, whether you liked her or not, still was a tremendous asset to WWE. And she will be Ms. Trendsetter. But now, again, wrapping up with Big E and teaming up with Heavy Machinery against The Miz, Morrison, and Sheamus. This, to me, honestly, just shows you, solidifies that Big E's run to the top is going to be very, very small. It's going to be week to week. It's not going to be something that's going to be for people that want that quick fix, right? It's going to be long, planned out. And then you know that the Morrison and The Miz just get dumber every week. That's basically what they're doing there. Yeah, they're getting dumber every week. And Heavy Machinery, again, is a tag team that they use there to fill it. You get Big E, who just left being in a six-man tag team, and you put him in a six-man tag team here against Heavy Machinery. I don't get that, but Big E gets to win over The Miz. So, obviously, those are two things that I get. It's that The Miz and Morrison are getting dumber every week, and that Big E's run to greatness is going to be very long. It's going to a long run. It's not a quick fix. Not like you see it in the next pay-per-view. This is talking about maybe 4-3 months down the road.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment to make there. I mean, I would not disagree in terms of Morrison and Miz getting dumber by the minute. What's the frustrating thing about the whole scenario with Big E is that we all see it. The crew that are listening to this, they see it. A lot of fans see it. and they want it, and they've wanted it for so long. And what I just don't understand, and I guess more because maybe I'm not quote unquote that demographic, but why do we constantly need to keep breeding the fact that Big E hasn't proven anything yet? He's proven a lot in his career. He has been successful as a single star, but then, you know, when they throw that thing out there, they'll be like, well, it's been so long since then. So what? You don't lose that talent overnight. And just this whole thing about, you know, him trying to prove to the world that he can have success and he can do this. I'm like, come on. We don't need to do that. We know you can. Let's just put Big E against competitors that can help elevate him to that next level he needs to be to show him that, quote-unquote, in my opinion, credibility, because perception is reality. When you defeat stars that are at that level where people are like, wow, these are guys who are, you know, top guys, and you start competing against them and not maybe necessarily win, but show that you're on that same level, if not could get there, to me, that's what you need to be showcasing on SmackDown, not the you know, going to Talking Smack and doing these backstage segments where, like, no, you haven't proven anything yet, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on. We've seen this time and time again. It's a waste of time. It's a space filler, and you're right. Unfortunately, it's going to be a slow build, but, you know, when it eventually does happen, you know, as we bypass all this BS, in my opinion, it'll be great because finally you'll give an opportunity to a fresh face. And when you look at a brand like SmackDown right now, they are in desperate. So this is why it confuses me in terms of the slow pace. SmackDown right now is desperate need of a top babyface right now. They don't have that many on that roster. So it's like, why would you delay this any further? Unless they expect them to completely boom up. I don't know. And that's a frustrating thing. You think Theodore Long was doing the main events here? Like another six-man tag team. I mean, I love tag team matches, but come on. Let's pick up the pace with Big E.
Speaking of tag team trends that I forgot to mention, too, and that was not just the only thing that happened, too. Bayley and Sasha Banks find out their opponents are going to be Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. Wow, just out of the blue, these are two people that haven't gotten along on Raw.
Still don't.
And now they're competing against Bayley and Sasha. You kind of started seeing again the seeds being planted there with Sasha, with Bayley's little innuendo that she can't really defend that Raw Women's Championship when she wins it. So that kind of was there. Was a little shot there at Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks was, as long as you're my best friend, I'll stay by your side. Obviously, now again, it's being planted in us that this thing could, you know, turn as soon as maybe after Payback if they lose. So, I mean, interesting, but now again we're like, okay, so now the success now is starting to kind of like wither away really fast. Now do you think it's time that they do this to pull the trigger? Because this goes week to week, man.
It doesn't
this
matter really... whether I say it or you say it, Jeff. We said it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It looks like it's gonna happen finally. That's what they're setting up to be. But you know what annoys and frustrates me the most, Jeff? Two individuals, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, which, you know, WWE has yelled at Nia Jax for her lack of safety in the ring. Mm-hmm. They don't believe, or Vince McMahon doesn't believe in Shayna Baszler, although you could ask Triple H and be like, you're wrong on that end, all right? So these two women who have absolutely nothing to do, don't want anything to do with each other on camera, but at the same time, nothing going for them. Hey, let's just pair them up.
Yeah.
Forget the Iconics, forget Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, forget all the established other teams. Well, those are the only two really established teams in the women's division. Let's not have them defeat Sasha and Bayley. Let's just put two individuals together and put them, you know, they've never competed together. Let's just give them a title match.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the logic, again, you're saying logic and wrestling, right? But this is where the logic makes no sense. These two women have never been together in a ring. They've never tag teamed. They didn't even have a warm-up match together. And now they're going to get a tag team title match. Mm. Are you seriously kidding me right now? Are you trying to bring some validity? Are you trying to bring some standard level of high level of importance to the tag team titles of the women's division? No. Again, it is what frustrates me the most when you have...
But like, there's no tag teams other than... You said
because they haven't...
But couldn't this lead to Sasha and Bayley winning and then this being another reason why Bayley and... Why Baszler and Nia Jax will feud maybe on Raw? Maybe
but
just
Jeff,
setting it up?
Answer me this, then. If you do that, then what's the point? What's the point of putting them together in a title match if they're going to lose? And then, what, are we really that interested in seeing Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler?
Well, that could
nobody
be
looks at
thinking.
Shayna Baszler as somebody they want to root for. And nobody looks at Nia Jax as somebody they want to root for. So why do we even care about something like this? You're right. You're like, what team is out there? I just mentioned just two, or the only two established teams in WWE. you couldn't really give it to them right now. I'm sure the Iconics would do a lot more with other tag teams trying to chase them than what Bayley and Sasha are doing, which inevitably will lead to their split. So to me, it just makes no sense. Like, I don't really care about it. And to me, it's just lazy writing, in my opinion, because, like, why would you do this? So if they win, say Shayna and Nia do win, then what? Okay, now it's gonna lead to the end of Bayley and Sasha. Okay, but then do I really care about Nia and Shayna Baszler's tag team champions?
Yeah, this is very true. This makes is no very, sense. Very true.
All right, have a tag team division. Get some tag teams in the men and women's division, for God's sakes. All right. It's not that hard.
So let's get to predictions, Trendsetter, for Payback.
Hate this.
Who's going to win that tag team match with Bayley, Sasha versus Baszler and Nia Jax?
Well, I think we'd be surprised if Bayley and Sasha retain, but I think obviously it's the way it's pitted out right now. They're going to impede their success, and again, Sasha will have no titles, and it'll be basically Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax winning and coming victorious.
All right, I'm going to go Bayley and Sasha. I don't think it's going to be drawn out yet. Matt Riddle and King Corbin. I'm going to go with Matt Riddle.
I'm going with Matt Riddle as well.
And then the triple threat match, Roman Reigns, The Fiend, and Braun Strowman. I'm going to go Roman Reigns, man. I mean, you mentioned it. You don't put Paul Heyman on them and then lose. Spoiler alert. Usually when it's a spoiler alert, it's a lock. And I think that Roman Reigns gets the victory. And I will say that he pins Braun Strowman. So I'm not just giving you the who wins. I'm telling you what's going to happen. He's going to pin Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I mean, I see Roman Reigns coming out of victorious as well as the Universal Champion. And people would be like, well, how could you do that with The Fiend, you know, he already had the title. But here's the difference, guys, right? We've had Braun Strowman now become the essence, the monster he was supposed to be with this new incarnation of Braun Strowman. We have The Fiend, right? And all his darkness and everything he brings, this aura about him, right? But here's the difference, and this is why The Fiend and Braun Strowman are nowhere near close to competing or close to winning this. Because it's one thing to have those attributes, right, Jeff? But here's Roman Reigns. Not just Roman Reigns' athletic abilities, determination, his mentality, right, of wrecking everybody and leaving him. But when you have the monster and the fiend, that's one thing. But when you have the devil himself in your corner, which is Paul Heyman, to me, checkmate. That is going to be the difference in this. The Fiend is nowhere near in comparison to what Paul Heyman brings to the table. So that's why the devil is in Roman's corner, and the devil doesn't like to lose. And that's what's going to happen. Roman Reigns will walk out of Payback as a Universal Champion.
Guys, enjoy Payback this weekend. You've been blessed with another WWE pay-per-view, so enjoy this Sunday. We'll be back here again next week with another SmackDown review. Part of the WWE unofficial podcast. Another great episode. Trendsetter will be back also too, covering AEW as their go-home show is next week as they get set for All Out. So we are a lot of wrestling now coming at you really fast, so we will try to do our best to dissect and kind of preview and recap everything going on in AEW and SmackDown, Trendsetter. So another great episode. Take us away. You follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast, and join another week, Trendsetter.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
And make sure you follow us on YouTube as well with all the stuff we put out there and the things that are coming in the near future for the High Spot Podcast. So for the Jersey Rank Room, attack team partner, the Scandal, Jeff Martin, I'm the Trendsetter, Brian Berger. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the HSP SmackDown Review. We thank you all so much. And remember, if you haven't figured it out by now, then you never will. But we'll always be here to remind you. We do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. We out.